Core values. Core values. If you see a thriving, successful organization, they will have clearly defined and supported core values. Last year, we developed as a leadership and we shared our brand new core values. This year, we are dedicating a sermon series to each of the five core values. And so we have talked about, remind you also, our core values are available on our websites. On our About Us page, we have brochure, trifold, half sheet out at the information center, so those are available. Our core values will shape everything about what we do here at Miami Town, how we respond to God in our personal faith, how we respond to God as a church in faith together, our direction, our goals, how we are going about achieving those goals, which is our strategy. Any changes we experience here at Miami Town will be based on our core values. We will constantly be evaluating what we do, how we do church, and it will always be based on these core values. And this is on an individual basis, on a church-wide basis, from a leadership perspective, but also from all of us, as our view of worship, our view of Bible study, our view of fellowship, our view of service, of sharing our faith, of living our faith, our programming decisions, our outreach, everything. Everything will be under the guidelines of these core values. They are so very important. All we do as a church will be built on these. So far, we have looked a little deeper at our first two core values. Let's review those. Our first core value, God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. Our second core value is devoted to God. Devoted to God, a full dependence on him, and a complete abandonment of self. Now, our first two core values, they are connected with our relationship with God, that is growing with God. Our last three core values are focused on actively pursuing the mission of Christ, that is investing in people, and that is our mission statement, growing in God, investing in people, and that is captured and kind of blown up a little bit in our core values. So we are moving from our first two core values, which are more vertically focused, to our last three core values, which are more horizontally focused. So for 3 weeks, we are going to be digging into our third core value, which is growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus, growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. The first section of your bulletin, if you look down in your bulletin in the sermon notes there, that little first section, the first major bullet point, that is going to be in every message of these three messages. We are going to keep coming back to that. It's repetition, repeat yourself, and again, repetition. And that can be very, very healthy for learning. And these are pieces that we want to really take in with this third core value. So growing God's kingdom, Jesus has empowered his people to grow his church. And I don't have any blanks in there that you have to take, but I wanted to just, this Sunday, we're going to just absorb that a little bit and just really kind of take it in as we get started into it and kind of get past the first level of what that really hits at, that Jesus has empowered his people to grow his church. He expects his people to be responsible for his church, growing both numerically and developmentally. And we talked about this last year in the message we had on this core value. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is our key passage for this core value. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus tells the disciples point blank, I am in charge. I'm in charge in heaven. I'm in charge on earth. And we are Jesus' followers, correct? Yes. So he is our leader. We follow. He's in charge. He's the leader. He is an authority. And he states it very clearly. He is an authority. He has been given authority. And he is in authority in heaven and on earth. And with his authority, he has empowered us. He's empowered us, and we have been chosen. And we talked about this in our spiritual gift series earlier this year. We have been chosen to be specific parts of his church, that each of us, in our uniqueness, have been chosen to be a special part of his body. And we have been empowered by him. We have been gifted with a supernatural gift through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And he has empowered us. And every one of us, all of our gifts come together to fulfill this great commission to go. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's increasing number. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And that's developing. That's deepening. So you go and you make disciples. You baptize them. You make more disciples. You increase the number of disciples. You grow numerically. And you teach them. That means that you invest in the spiritual growth of those disciples. We are responsible for the maturity of the new followers of Christ. And we are to be involved in developing disciples, growing developmentally. Growing God's kingdom is our third core value. And it is clearly one of Jesus' core values. That's why it's one of ours here at this church. To grow God's kingdom. God has empowered his people to grow his church. He expects us to be responsible for his church growing both numerically and developmentally. And this is also very clear in Scripture. So we can be sure of all of this. And I'll read our third core value once again with all of that kind of focused in. Growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. So this morning, very simple. What are disciples? What are disciples? What are we responsible for growing numerically? What are we responsible for growing developmentally? I'm tempted to just say it's a disciple is a follower of Christ. It's really that simple. And I could, because that is a true statement, but I wanted to be very intentional with my word choice so that we understand specifically what a follower of Christ is. And so in your bulletin underneath that main heading, we have one more note there that you're not writing notes, not this week. A disciple is one who is becoming like Jesus. So we're following him, but to be more specific, we are becoming more like him because that's what happens when you follow him. That's the idea of what is supposed to happen. We follow his ways. We follow his thinking, his heart. We follow his actions, his attitude, his passion, his mission. We follow his morals. We follow his teachings. So when we follow, we are becoming more like Jesus. And we're going to camp out here for today in this understanding of becoming more like Jesus. Today is very simple, it's very basic, but for next week and the week after, this week is necessary to be able to build a foundation. And you guys have heard me say many times that the basics are important. The foundation is always important. The roots are always important. So even though this might be some things you're like, oh, well, I've heard this before. Stay engaged because the basics are always, always, always important. And so we need this review, especially before we dig into some things in the next 2 weeks. So let's dig into this. A disciple is one who is becoming like Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, he said, the student is not above the teacher. And really zone in on it, really focus in. Listen to this. But everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. I think that's a great definition of what a disciple is. A disciple is one who is becoming like Jesus. So let's review some things that were very important to the character and the person of Jesus as we're looking at how we can become like him or how we should be becoming like him as disciples ourselves. Jesus believed what he taught. Do you agree? Yes, he did. There was never a doubt here. This is one of the reasons I believe that he was such a powerful teacher, because he truly believed what he was teaching. He believed what he taught was truth. It was undisputed truth. And this should be the case for his disciples. So let's write some things down now. And we're going to write a big old sentence down here, and we're going to break this down a little bit. So let's go and write this down. A disciple is convinced, compelled, challenged, and changed by Jesus' teachings. A disciple is convinced. We should believe Jesus' teachings without reservation, without apology. We live in a time and a day and an age and a society and a culture where we are being moved to apologize for claiming that we believe in absolute truth. We are being truth-shamed by our culture and our society. Well, that's your truth, but I have my truth. No, truth is truth. Truth is absolute. You go jump off a mountain, you go jump off a bridge, gravity is going to get you. That's truth. Truth does not depend on your belief to be truth. Okay? You can believe what you want to believe, and I'm going to believe what I want to believe, but that doesn't mean that truth is relative. And church, we can't get sucked into that, because that's what the world is teaching and has been teaching, and it's getting worse and worse and worse in the world around us. We cannot apologize for believing in truth and claiming that what we believe is truth. Jesus didn't apologize, did he? He did not. In fact, Jesus said, I am the truth. He didn't say I'm one truth. I'm one of the many truths out there. I am the truth. And that's what Jesus believed in, and that's what Jesus stood on. Now, we don't have to be arrogant or unkind or unloving. There's no place for that either as we stand on truth. But if we really believe what we believe is truth, then there's no masking that. There's no reason to sugarcoat that. And there's no relativism to it when we believe in truth. We must be convinced inside ourselves with a confidence that Jesus' teachings are truth. Compelled. We're not just convinced, but we are convicted. We are compelled. The truth of Jesus' teachings, it moves us. That Jesus' teachings should mean something to us in our heart, in the depths of our soul. That it should move us. It should matter. It should compel us. It should inspire us. That we would be motivated by his teachings. That we are compelled by his teachings. As a disciple, we are challenged by his teachings. This means that when we come across things in Scripture, not everything in Scripture is going to match how we're living. We're going to come across truths in Scripture, truths in Jesus' teaching that are kind of perpendicular, not parallel to the way that we're living. We're going to run into some things here and go, well, this truth that I'm reading, it's quite different than the way that I live, or it's quite different than this attitude that I've got in this specific area, or it's quite different than this behavior that I find myself repeating over and over and over again. It's quite different than this passion I have, or it's quite different than this passion I don't have. You're going to find things that you're lacking in. Something that we need to let go of. We will be challenged. We will be tested by the truth in Scripture. And if we're going to comply with Jesus' teachings, then we need to be changed by them. Would you agree? Absolutely. If we aren't being changed by Jesus' teachings, then how can we call ourselves a disciple? None of us are perfect. We are always going to be changing as a response to believing and being compelled, being convinced, being compelled, and being challenged is always going to result in change. If it doesn't, and you just get the first three, then we're really missing out on closing the deal on what truth should be doing for us. We should be becoming more like Jesus, and that's going to require changes in our personal life. We're going to need to be changed by his teachings, and that's a big deal in the next chapter here at Miami Town, to be changed by the truth of his teachings, to be changed, and that this is where this whole renewing the focus journey is really going to get real for our church, because we're going to need to make changes. And as I shared a few weeks ago, or maybe even last week, that I don't know exactly what's on the horizon. I just know if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we're not going to be able to continue doing things the way we've been doing it, and change is coming. And it's going to have to come because we have been convicted. We have been compelled. We have been moved. We have been inspired. We have been challenged by God's word. And we want to be better stewards of his gospel. Our theology is not going to change. There's no reason for that to change. But we will need to be changed by it. The truth of Jesus' teachings will have to move us, compel us, challenge us, and change us. And that will be difficult. Because you and I both know, we don't have a good track record of that here. And that goes way back. And I'm with you on this. I've been here 14 years. There's some things that I know that are going to be challenged that I've gotten used to. And as much as I know that's important, I like some of the comfort of expecting something to be a certain way or going through. So I know there's going to be things that are going to come my way that's going to push me and challenge me. And I believe that's going to be the case. And that's going to be the case for all of us. And I'm just being honest. I do think we're at a different stage in our maturity as a church, though. A different stage than we've been at in a long time. I think we understand the need to change. And I think we understand that we're at a point where we're willing to make some changes. And there will be some resistance. That's natural. I expect that out of myself, even. Some pushback. Some reluctance. It's okay. It's okay. But the heart's going to be based on the gospel. The heart's going to be based on being the church that God wants us to be. And we're going to push back against that a little. But we're ultimately going to surrender and we're going to give in and we're going to do what God wants us to do. Amen? Change is not easy. But it is necessary. And we see that in our personal life as we grow as a disciple. As we believe, as we are motivated, inspired by God's word, as we are challenged, as we are tested by his word, and we change, we see that on an individual basis. And so Jesus believed what he taught. So as a disciple, we should be convinced, compelled, challenged, and changed by Jesus' teachings. Jesus shared what he knew and experienced about the kingdom. When Jesus shared, that's what he shared about. The things that he knew, the things that he experienced about the kingdom. And we should also. So let's look at these two things. Knowledge and experience. We gain an understanding of God and we grow in our relationship in him through studying. And we gain an understanding of God and we grow in our relationship with him through experiential knowledge. So let's look at studying the first half of those two things. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. He can't be more clear than that. If you really hold to my teaching, or if you hold to my teachings, then you're really my disciples. That's how he's going to know if we're his disciples, if we hold to his teachings. As disciples, we are to hold to his teachings. How can we hold on to something that we don't know? How can we know something if we don't study? Knowledge will come through studying his teachings. And as we learn his teachings and we study them, then we need to pass them on. Paul told Timothy, he said, the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So let's write this down. A disciple is a student of the word who passes on what he learns. Very simple. You learn it, and then you pass it on. You learn it, and then you pass it on. You study, you learn, and then you pass on what you learned. It's really that simple. And I did this last week. I didn't share that I did it. I mean, I do this every week. I learn something, and I pass it on. Last week, though, I didn't share with you that a part of the sermon was brand new to me as far as some of my studying. When I was studying, and I came across that word when Jesus says, come follow me. If you remember that section in the sermon where I said, that's an imperative. It's not a question. That was a brand new piece for me last week in my studying when I was looking through things and I came across that and one of the commentators had mentioned this and so I went and looked at the Greek and kind of double checked them on that as much as I can and I was like, wow, this is exactly what this is. This is not something gentle. This is authoritative command. And so I learned something new. I studied. I learned something new and then guess what I did? I came in here on Sunday morning and I passed it on. I shared it with you. And that's exactly what we all do, we all should be doing as a disciple, is studying and learning. And when you learn something new, you pass it along. You've got learned knowledge, knowledge that comes through studying, but we also have knowledge that comes through experiences, knowledge that we gain by just simply walking with God, experiential knowledge. A disciple walks, let's go and write this down, a disciple walks with God and has many experiences to share with others. As we walk with God, we will gain experiences, and those experiences will be experiences that we can share with others. Some are super profound experiences. Some are just simple day-to-day things where you see that he is walking with you. That you are part of his plan and that you are part of his purpose, that you are on his radar. He's thinking about you. And he loves you. Goodness, there are so many different things that I could share. I've got one here that I thought about, and then just because the one I've got is more of a simple day to day. I remember one somewhat recently. I just, for some reason, I don't remember what day it was, what day of the week it was, but I woke up and I just had John Hambry. He's the minister at the Assembly of God in Harrison. Super awesome guy. And I just had him on my heart. And I sent him a text and I said, I've been praying for you all morning. I don't know why, but I just felt the leading to pray for you and lift you up. I hope everything's okay. And it was a little while before he got back with me. And when he got back with me, he was dealing with some loss and some things going on. And I'm trying to remember exactly the person. I think it was someone that was like a mother to him that had just passed. And he was going through that. And I think that happened on some sort of anniversary. It was just a lot of compound stuff that he was going through. And I was like, wow, you know, I'm glad I sent him that message to let him know. I'm lifting you up. So sometimes it'll happen like that. It'll be a profound thing and something where you can share. And that's just your experience. I had one just this last week, and it was super recent. That's why I wanted to share with you. And it's also something where sometimes we don't realize the little things and how things happen. So on Friday, so this is super recent, like 2 days ago. So on Friday, I was picking Isaiah up from his cross-country practice and then came back to the house, and I had to get some things done. I had a chiropractor's appointment, and then later in the afternoon, I was meeting a family here at the church. And so I was just going to go to the chiropractor's appointment, come right over here to the church and be here to be able to meet them, let them in and help them get set up downstairs as they need to get set up. So all that was kind of boom, 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 boom. And so before I left for the chiropractor's appointment, I passed by the bird's cages, you know, said goodbye to my little birdies and realized, you know what, the bottom, the trays really need to be changed. And I've been seeing them for a few days and thinking, I need to get to those. And while I kept, and so Friday was my day off, even though I had a bunch of things planned, and I ended up spending, I was in here at the church for a while. So, but I thought, you know what, I can get those real quick right now, and I'll be a little tight. I might be a little late for my chiropractor, so they're always running a little bit late. So I took the trays out, got all the paper out, took them outside to spray them off, and the hose is right beside our air conditioning unit. And so when I went to spray them off and went to put the hose back, I realized there's a little snowball on one of my hoses on my air conditioner. I thought, it's July, and it's not snowing, and it's like at least in the mid-80s already. And I thought, this isn't good. So I peeked inside the unit, and holy cow, and I probably could have put a picture up there, but it was like I had a couple of the pipes were just solid white. And this whole unit, I don't know which unit, there's two big old things in there. I'm not an HVAC guy, but a whole unit was just white, 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 white. Like, and I was like, oh, that's not good. So I took a picture of it. I sent it to Kurt and Gary, and I was like, hey, what do we need to do here? And they said, well, you need to shut it off, leave the fan running, and then check it later, and check your filter. And I thought I had changed my filter at the beginning of the summer, but I guess I'm thinking the beginning of spring, so it has probably been 3 months, so it's about time. And so checked the filter, pulled it out, turned the fan on, turned the thing off, ran off to my chiropractor's appointment, I was like, okay, now I'm going to have to run back home. Actually, I'm going to have to get a filter, then run back home, get the AC going back on, then make it to my appointment here at the church. And I'm already running late just to start it all off. So I was like, man, I'm glad I did that because I wouldn't have caught the AC. But now I'm really kind of behind because that took a lot longer than just cleaning the trays. So I get to my chiropractor's appointment. On my way back, because he is in... Oh, not Dent. What's Delhi? How did you know where my chiropractor was? Oh, yeah, you do, yeah. So it's in Delhi. So I was coming back through Cleves to get to Harrison. I never stop at the Cleves Kroger, ever. And so I thought, well, you know what? It's right on my way. I'll stop in here, see if they have filters. They're not as big of a Kroger as Harrison, but so I stopped there, ran in real quick, all the filters, here's the size I need, and it's empty. So I was like, well, shucks. Now I'm going to have to use extra time to go to the Kroger in Harrison, get a filter, get it home, get back, and I'm running low on gas. My gas gauge on my car doesn't work, and so I have to go by my odometer, and so I was hitting at that 250 mile, which I can go to about 275, but you just never know with that car, the way it drinks gas. So I'm like, okay, now I need to stop for gas. And so on my way out of Kroger, I'm thinking, man, this is a wasted trip. This is wasted time. And so I bump into one of our church people here. And I'm not going to, I shared with this person, I wouldn't share their identity. You'll find out their identity soon enough. Not today, but in the weeks to come, I'm sure. But this person said that they had been wanting to get together with me and talk about baptism. They had some questions and about becoming a member here at our church. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I slowed my roll, you know, because when someone mentions that, then everything else kind of takes a pause. And I knew I had a family here that was, I was going to be late for them now. So we stood there and we talked for about 10 minutes. And I said, I've got some things I need to get to. Can I give you a call later? And we can set up a time that we can get together sometime next week and talk about this, because this is really exciting. So we exchanged, made sure we had phone numbers. And I went on my way. And I got the filter. The other Kroger had it. Got gas. Got it there. Got here. And the family was totally understanding. And so it all worked out. But when I was thinking back on that later, I thought, you know what? I didn't feel a strong Holy Spirit leading to clean the bird cages. But God used that, didn't he? Because if I wouldn't have done the cages, I wouldn't have seen the AC unit. And that shows me that I'm on his radar, because then the AC unit would have been running all day like that. And I noticed it was draining a little bit inside, but I know when it normally happens that way, then you'll see drainage underneath the unit inside, and I didn't see that the night before. So I know it wasn't happening the night before. It was maybe on its way. I could tell it was working hard. But that would have been running all day, because I didn't get home from the church that night till about 8 p.m. that night, and I wasn't going to return. I left for the chiropractors, and I was going to come here and meet the family, and then I ended up staying and working on some things I needed to get done. And so it would have been running all day long like that. I don't know how much extra that would have been. I don't know, you know, I'm sure it's working harder. I don't know what other kind of damage could have been done from it working like that all day. But I caught that. But then the bigger thing is that if I wouldn't have seen that, I wouldn't have been stopping for a filter, and I wouldn't have stopped at the Kroger that I never stop at. And then when I talked to this person later and told them that I would share their story, but not to get nervous, I wouldn't share their name. Then they said, well, it's really funny, because I wanted to go to Kroger earlier, and I had things that delayed me, and I finally had a window to go at that exact time, and it just happened. And you're like, you know what, these are every one of us, as a disciple, and we're walking with God, we have experiences with him, that every one of us should have those stories, and they happen every week. They happen as we walk, as we go along. There we go. Jesus believed what he taught. A disciple is convinced, compelled, changed by Jesus' teachings. Jesus shared what he knew and experienced about the kingdom. A disciple is a student of the word who passes on what he learns. A disciple walks with God and has many experiences to share it with others. Jesus lived what he taught. Would you agree? He lived what he taught. I didn't pull a scripture to support this, because I think that this is universally understood by his people. He believed what he taught. He lived what he taught. He was consistent. He was the real McCoy. He lived with integrity. And so we follow Jesus. We follow his lifestyle. And let's write this down. A disciple lives a disciplined life, exemplifying God's holy principles, values, and morals. God chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, Ephesians 1:4. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy, 1 Peter 1:15. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. And I could probably just go on and on and on and on and on, could I not? This is clear in the New Testament. A disciple of Jesus lives a disciplined life, exemplifying God's holy principles, values, and morals, and we are just following what Jesus did. We are following in his footsteps and doing what he did, and this is reflected in our thinking, it is reflected in our behavior, our moral choices, our attitude, where we spend our time, where we spend our money, what's important to us, what's valuable to us, what we base our principles on, and this bleeds over into how we treat others. how we serve others, how we care for others, the love and compassion we show for others. Let's write this down. A disciple shows genuine love and compassion by sincerely caring and serving others. A lot of this is review, but stay engaged because the basics matter. The foundation is always important. A disciple shows genuine love and compassion by sincerely caring for and serving others. Jesus lived what he taught. Shouldn't we? We teach about a loving God. We should be loving everywhere. Not just here, not just on a Sunday, but everywhere in all of our interactions with all the people we come into contact with. We teach about God, a God who loves the whole world. What does it communicate to the world around us when we are selective with who we show love to? Is this consistent with what we teach about God? We teach about the compassion of Christ. We should be compassionate. We should show our love and compassion through caring actions and serving others. Our actions towards others need to be consistent with what we teach about God. Otherwise, why would anyone want to listen to us share what we've learned or share our experiences with God if we don't appear to be the real deal ourselves? Jesus believed what he taught. A disciple is convinced, compelled, challenged, and changed by Jesus' teachings. Jesus shared what he knew and experienced about the kingdom. And as a disciple, we do the same things. We study the word, we are a student of the word, and we pass on what we learn. And we walk with God, and we have experiences, and we share those experiences with other people. Jesus lived what he taught. And so as a disciple, we live disciplined lives, exemplifying God's holy principles, values, and morals. A disciple shows genuine love and compassion by sincerely caring for and serving others. Then it was Jesus's life priority. It was Jesus's life priority to bring people into an eternal relationship with his Father. Luke 19:10, what I look at and I say, well, this was Jesus's vision statement, his purpose statement. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Pretty simple. We put this together with a passage that many of us know well, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It was Jesus' life priority to bring people into an eternal relationship with God. That's why he came to earth. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose from the dead. We know this to be true. This is a foundational truth for every one of us. If you notice today, the sermon title is enormously profound. It's two letters. It's B. What's the sermon going to be about today? It's just B. Now that you've heard the sermon, the title fits, doesn't it? B. Last week, our last note in the sermon was, I will replicate what I am. You can't reproduce something that you're not. To make devoted disciples, you must be a devoted disciple yourself. And that's why this message had to be the first message in this series. If we're going to grow God's kingdom, we are going to have to be active in Jesus' mission. And if we're going to fulfill our responsibility to add more disciples and assist in their progress, if we're going to be responsible to grow Jesus' church both numerically and developmentally, we must be the real deal ourselves. We must be devoted followers of Christ ourselves if we're going to reproduce more like ourselves. We must be active in our journey to become more like Jesus, convinced, compelled, challenged, changed by Jesus' teachings, a student of his word who passes on what we learn, walking with God and having many experiences to share with others, living disciplined lives, exemplifying God's holy principles, morals, and values. Every one of us showing love and compassion, sincerely caring for and serving others. And if it was Jesus' life priority to bring people into an eternal relationship with God, then we should ask ourselves, what is my life priority? Let's write that down. What is my life priority? what should it be? I want you to reflect on those questions. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your wisdom, your guidance, your word, your Holy Spirit, the example of your Son. Father, that you have given us so much to be able to live in your will, to be able to live in the way that you want us to be your people, to be your disciples. Father, I ask that as we reflect on all of these things today, these just core basics of what it means to be a disciple, to become more like your Son. Father, that as we reflect on all of this and we come down to the final thought of that, that it was your Son's priority, his life priority, his life mission to open the door for people to have an eternal relationship with you. So, Father, at this time, as we come to our invitation, help us to think about that in our own lives. What is my life priority? And then what change needs to happen? Thank you so very much for your Son. We are very, very privileged to be called your people, to be washed by his blood, to be saved, to be the dwelling place for your Holy Spirit, to be entrusted with spiritual gifts so that we might be your witnesses, that we have been entrusted with your word of life, that we should hold it out for the world. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.